Thank you, Renee. Amen. What a blessing. It was such a good message and song, and not only for us, the choir special, what a blessing. Music's been great today. Amen. Even the congregational singing was good. Amen. It was good. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go with me to Luke chapter number 14. I do realize this is where our theme verse is for the Restore-a-thon, and I'm going to preach this morning out of the text that we use for our Restore-a-thon. And a lot of times we realize that we gotta go. You know, the go in the gospel, it's important, isn't it? You know, we think about how the gospel itself is something that the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ has been given to his church, and it's such a great importance, but sometimes we forget the go part. And if you take the go out of the gospel, it's just a spell. And we can laugh about that and we realize that, but really, I mean, there's a lot of different things that claim to be religion in this world that just cast a spell on people. But the go of the gospel is that we go and we tell people, not of something that we think, but that we know. Not of who or what they can do to be saved, but who can save them, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we find ourselves in the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 14, and we find the Lord Jesus speaking, and he's gone to a dinner of all places with the chief Pharisee. He's not just with any Pharisee, he's with the chief one. Amen. Now, I like to go to dinner, but, you know, sometimes the company can spoil the food. You ever been at one of them kind of dinners? Now I'm looking out. You're all are waiting where this is going. I can see. And I'm not saying I've had any of those lately or anything like that, but you know, the company really matters. And sometimes Jesus here he's going to use this as a teaching time in the early part of the chapter before we get to the story that he gives or the lesson that he's going to give them. He already has given so many lessons. And for a title for the tape room today, I'll say three types. There's going to be three types. And over and over and over again, we're going to see Jesus gives three types. I almost named it Far Enough, amen, after the song. But we'll call it three types this morning. And here in Luke chapter 14, I want to pray with you and ask the Lord to help us this morning before we get started and we really get to preaching and reading the scripture this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear God, we just ask you, Lord, to help us this morning as we open your word, Lord, as we begin to preach your word, Lord, I pray that you'd just, Lord, you'd use me as your messenger boy, Lord. I pray you'd give me unction to function, Holy Spirit of God. You'd do the work that I can't do in this place, Lord, that you would go into the hearts of the hearers and that you would draw men into yourself. If there's a Christian in here, Lord, I pray that he'd be encouraged for service. Lord, I pray that they'd be encouraged to do and to go of the gospel today. I pray that if there's those that don't know you in this place, Lord, that they've just never heard the gospel before, I pray you'd compel them to come in through the preaching, and Lord, that they would be drawn unto yourself and receive Jesus Christ. And there are those folks here today that have been making excuses, excuses and excuses and excuses of why not to come to Christ, that today would be the day of salvation. I pray, God, that you to do the work that I can't do. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 14, and Jesus, he's done some things with his chief Pharisee, and as they sit at meat, he begins to talk to them, and this is supper time. All right, now, we're in the South, so supper means the northern dinner, all right? That's the late hour, all right? Sometimes when you talk about dinner in here in the South, the people get weirded out. Like, are you talking about lunch? Or supper, you know, what are you talking about, amen? Or dinner is a lunchtime meal and supper is at night. And so here we find Jesus at supper. We find him, and we don't call it the last dinner, right? We call it the last supper. And so here he's coming to the place here where he comes to, and he sees there's a healing that happens in the early part of the chapter. Jesus heals someone sitting at meat, and he does that without a doubt to teach the chief Pharisee. It's the Sabbath day. They're sitting down for a meal, and he's sitting there, and he's going to talk to them, and he says, is it lawful for for a man, you know, to be healed on a Sabbath day. And so he challenges their faith there. Then he comes to a place while they're sitting at meat, and there's definitely, it's a chief priest, so he's in probably a grand house, and in the Middle Eastern culture, the house levels up by rooms. We find that with even the Apostle Paul, and somebody, they're sitting up, and the guy fell out of the upper loft and breaks his neck, and the Apostle Paul has to go down there and put some hands on him. And so we see, but he's talking about, hey, when you're going to go, and when you're invited in, don't go on and sit in the top room. Don't walk yourself to the top. Be invited to keep moving up. Just go on and take the humblest room. He gives instructions. So I see him healing, he helps, and he humbles some, because some of them had probably done exactly what Jesus had said. They went on and sat pretty high up because they thought something of themselves. And then the Lord or the master, the chief, here if you say, Pharisee, had to say, hey, the governor came, why don't you move one room down? Why don't you move on down to the next room and take a spot down there, because someone more honorable has showed up. So Jesus is healing. He's trying to help other folks with teaching of the Bible. And not only that, but teaching them, hey, why don't you just stay, just humble yourself before you have to be humbled. And when Jesus teaches on that, and any preacher that's ever preached the gospel or gets up and tries to teach about humbling, listen, I'm just going to tell you, it's better off to humble yourself than to be humbled. Do you know a Christian can find themselves in a bad situation and bring on a humbling not only from man, but it's even worse when God has to take you, knock out the blocks from underneath of you and lower you back down. He can do that through physical means. He can do that financially. He can do that in many, many ways. But I'm just going to tell you, it's better. You're better off to humble yourself before God. You know, every one of us that have ever come, one of the things that keeps us from coming to Christ, at least for me, was pride. I was a 15-year-old boy, and I remember sitting back there and knowing that I needed to come to Christ, really realizing that I didn't know for sure I was on my way to heaven, but I thought, what will my father-in-law think? I didn't even have a father-in-law yet, but he was going to be my father-in-law. What will he think? He's a deacon in the church. Man, I mean, he's going to think I've been lying to him all this time, and I'm thinking I'm going to lose the girl. I thought to myself, what is my preacher going to think? Do you know, I thought, man, my preacher's going to be upset. He's going to think I'm a liar. He'll never let me do anything in the church again. That's what I thought sitting in the pew. I thought I'll never be able to do anything in the church again. I thought all kinds of things sitting in the pew. But you know, there came a day when I finally said, I'm not going to hell for anybody. I quit making excuses for myself and for why I wasn't going to come to the Lord. And I humbled myself. And I received Jesus Christ as my son. You know what happened? My father-in-law was so happy for me. He even still became my father-in-law. He gave his hand, his daughter in marriage. And I hadn't even gotten there yet. Amen. You know, my preacher, when I walked down to the front, my preacher didn't have anything. But man, I'm so glad that you got it settled. Then you know that you know that you know. You know what he said next? You know what you got to do? I said, yes, sir. I got in the tank. He went with me. He didn't even make me go by myself. He dunked me for me. He went in with me. He was excited for me. They took a picture. I got the picture. He made a picture for me. I was so excited that my preacher didn't. He didn't say you can't never work in the church. He said, now you come to a place now God can use you. He got excited. My father-in-law said, man, it's better to have a saved son-in-law than a lost one. Hey, I just want you to know, in this day and age where we live, if we're not careful, when we need healing, we'll hold out and won't let God help us. When we need instruction, we'll look in the wrong places. We'll pull up our phone and look on the internet for everything instead of going to God's Word, because He's answered every question we could ever have. If we look for our family, we'll look up what some doctor said instead of the doctor of all this world. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ. See what He said on the subject and how we should train a family through the Word of God. And if we're not careful, we'll come to a place where we hold out and we try to hold out to the pride of life, like the world does, and wait until somebody knocks us off the platform, when all along we could have come down here and made it right over and over again. Amen. 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible, isn't it? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, I thought it best to keep short accounts with God. I'd rather go when God grips my heart than when He grips my hand and pulls me down. and humbles me before everybody to get me right. Hey, folks, you say, well, preacher, why are you preaching on that? Because it's in the Bible. Look at verse 15. I want to read this story now. That happened at the beginning of the chapter, but it sets up everything. And so when all this has come to fruition, Jesus says in verse 14, just to give you a little context, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. Because he's talked about who to call, the humbleness that's in the that he spoke about. He says they can't. He's talking about the poor and those that you could invite, the lame, the blind. In verse 13, cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. He's talking about there's a time of reward for when we go out and do stuff for folks that can't do for themselves or could never do back for us what we did for them. Folks, sometimes we're real guilty in this life of trying to do a favor because we know somebody can cut us a favor. But God wants us to reach out into the highways and the hedges for folks that poor, the halt, the blind. Sometimes when we get in an auditorium like this and we think, man, we're a person of prestige. You know that Jesus didn't die on the cross for just the middle class, the upper class, but the undercrust of this world. The poor, the halt, the blind, every man, woman, and child. Some of the people that when they, if they walk through this back door this morning, we'd turn our nose up at them and think they don't belong to be in here. But who does belong to be in here? Who does deserve to be in God's house to be saved and under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not a one of us that's in this room. Not one. Hey, folks. And when we broadcast the net, the go of the gospel is far and wide, and it doesn't stop. It's up to the upper class, the middle class, and definitely for those of the poor, the halt, the lame, and the blind. Don't forget to go under the bridge. Don't just knock doors and go somewhere and walk on under the bridge where somebody don't have a door. And give them the gospel of Jesus Christ because he loves every one of them, died for every one of them. And he says, hey, man, what a day that's going to be when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and you get a reward for going to somebody that nobody wanted to go to. I was reminded this week in some places. You know, you go to a mall. I went up to Orlando last night, and I almost said against my will, but that really wouldn't be true. I went up there. You know, I looked at the recliner, and I looked at it. And I thought, that's where I'd like to be. But then I went up there with my family and had a good time and everything. You know what I mean? And so I went up there, and I mean, we had a good time. But I sometimes I get sheltered around our church and the good people or the families of our church and our ministry. And there's so much work here. And when I get out into the world and just see how far the world has truly gone, I realize there are people needy. I saw people in back alleys, and I saw people in places that sin of this world will take you if you let it. You know, when you get on the bus of sin, it ain't dropping you off where you want to go. It'll take you way farther down the road than you ever wanted to go, and it'll pitch you off where it wants you to go, where it wants to let you go. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, this Bible has got such... Look at verse 15. He says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, this is Jesus, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He was henpecked already. Verse 21. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I don't know about you folks, but that's a scary, scary thought. There are people that were invited to come to the master's house, and they made an excuse. Can you imagine the thoughts, or as the worm dieth not, that thought that will go through the lost man's mind of the invitation that he passed up? the invitation that was given and the rejection that was made. I see some things in the scripture. First of all, I see three types of people here in God's house, or at least invited to the supper. We first see the Lord. I believe the man here who puts on the supper, I don't think I'm stretching it at all, but a certain man in verse 16 made a great supper. There's a great supper, and I don't know about you, but there's one supper. I've missed a couple suppers in my day for work. I've had to go and see a piece of land. I've gone and prayed over things. I've even run and got lockers and missed a meal here or there. But there's one supper I'm planning on attending. Amen. There's one that I've made plans, and I've had an invitation, and I accepted a long time ago, and that is to go home when the bride of Christ sits down and Jesus will gird himself and feed us. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there's a great supper that's been prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the only ones that will get there are the ones that come through Jesus, because he's the only one that can get us there. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I'm telling you, I've been ready to eat all of my life, but there's been some I've passed up, not because of what was being served, but because of necessity. Sometimes because of the go of the gospel. Sometimes just because it was getting light. Even as a man that had a business, when the sun was setting and I knew I needed to finish the job before it got dark, I stayed the course. Even though mama was cooking fried chicken at home, I knew it would be there when I got there, and I pressed on. But there's one supper that I'm going to be called to and I will not miss, because even in the labor, while I work till Jesus comes, one day the trump will sound, there'll be a shout from heaven, and I'll take off and I'll be gone from this place, and I'll be seated at a throne, and I'll be standing before my Jesus. I don't plan on missing that one, because I'm not the one that set the date. I don't have to do nothing till work until he comes for me. Hey folks, I want to be busy about the work of the Lord, because supper time is coming. Hey, I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you, but I want to be out in the highways and the hedges and raptured out of that place, looking for the poor, the halt, the blind, and anybody else that I could compel to come in. Amen and amen. I see three types of people. I see the Lord who made the supper. He's the one that's got, he's in control, folks, if you don't know it already or not. Do you know, and if I had to be one that was bade to come in, I already took the invitation. If we were to read on, we could realize that I've become a servant. If in the end of this chapter, he's going to talk about, you cannot be my disciple. This same chapter is going to talk about what it truly is. Not everybody that's saved is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not everybody will turn in, that came in and took the invitation, is truly his servant. Do you know what it takes to be a servant? To serve. Hey folks, I don't know about you, and listen, I mean, you may be here and you say, oh, preacher's going to get on. And listen, I realize across this ministry, this vast thing that God has given us and he has built, Jesus said he would build his church, and he's still building it, folks. I realized the service of the king, some people didn't get to go out. Some of them people worked within. They were staying in. The master was making a meal. He had other people making it. Some people pray. Some people give. Some people go to the mission field. Some people run a bus. Some people change diapers. Thank God I wasn't called to that. And so many things that I could do for the Lord, but every one of us, listen, there's the Lord, there's a servant, and then those are those that are bade to come in. Do you realize those that are bade to come in? We need to realize that God invited everybody. I've said this a lot lately because we live in a day and age where there's a false doctrine of Calvinism that's being perpetuated, that God called some people to be saved and others he called to be lost. And that is as false as a $3 bill. That's as false as some people we have in power today. That's as false as some of the things you'll find on the internet. If you were a fact checker, you'd put false on that one. Why? Because it's false. It's not truth. Jesus, I mean, all over the Bible we can find where he died for every man, that he died for every sinner, that he paid for the sins of the world, not for those. Listen, what a fool our God would be if he only died, if he died for the whole world, if you could say this, all right, and then he decided those folks can't be saved anyway. He's not a fool. He died for every man because every man has been given the invitation to be saved, to spend eternity in heaven. Every man's ticket is bought and paid for. And let me say from the scripture, and I may get ahead of myself, yet there is room to come in. There's room at the cross for you if you're here this morning and you haven't received the invitation to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's still room. Don't think too many people. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses here today, and we're not. Listen, there are people that preach you can't get in on the 144,000. I don't want to be in the 144,000. They got to stay in the nasty now and now. I'm headed out. I'm in the church. I'm one of God's own. I'm going to be with Him at the supper. Amen and amen. Hey, folks, don't misinterpret and don't miss out. When God gives an invitation, you come to the meal. He's still calling. There's still room. I see three other things. I see three different invitations given. Look at the scripture with me today. He says here in the scripture, I love this. He talks to the servant. He says out there, he tells in verse 17, if you would, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden. I don't know about you, but I feel something when I read supper time. It gives the rapture. I think we should just call, instead of the rapture, we should call it supper time. Amen. I don't know. I mean, I felt something right there. It changes everything for me. Amen. And I was already excited about it, but now I'm even more excited. Amen. And it said, to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Do you realize that when we realize when God is going to call us home, the shout that may come from heaven may be, come, for all things are now ready. Really, textually, here in the scripture, he's making a plea to the Jewish believer who had already received a written Old Testament invitation to accept the Messiah. And he had showed up, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And here he says, come, for all things are now ready. I've made a way. I've purchased all that stuff where it was types and pictures in the past that picture what I would do. It's done. The supper's ready. You can come in. I paid it all for you. All to him I owe. If you're a believer, you know what I'm saying? Hey, he said to the Jew, come on. They knew about the Messiah. They knew that he was coming. They believed it and preached it. But when he came, they missed him. He bade them to come to the supper. But they had excuses. We see a bunch of excuses. We read about them. But I see the second type of invitation here. Look at it with me if you would. I mean, he says in verse 21, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. The second invitation came with transportation. Do you realize he says, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither. Not only was it a physical invitation, but he said it was a call of get in on the body of Christ. Get in the bus. Get in my car. You ain't got to take yourself there. I will take you to the house of God. I'll take you to the foot of the cross. I'll walk you every step of the mile. I'll bring you in. Hey, folks, you realize that not all salvation comes with transportation. Nobody's getting to heaven except through Jesus, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no transporting, if I could say it that way, or if we wanted to call it translation. We could talk about all the different language we could come up with, but we're not getting there without him or through him. But even in this earth, when the servant is sent out, we're not just supposed to go out and tell people about him. Not just the people that already know. We're supposed to go out and get them and bring them back to the master's house. You know, the poor, when we go out and preach to them, they have problems. I don't know how to get there. I don't have a car. I don't have the means. throughout the Old Testament when the maimed and the halt and the blind. How am I going to get to the master except for somebody take me by the hand and lead me? I'm blind. I don't know how to see where I'm going. I don't know the streets that lead to the master's house. I don't know any way. Hey, I'm happy to take you by the hand and lead you down to Romans Road and take you right to where Jesus is, where you can receive him. Hey, how about, hey, come on. You poor, all's been paid for. Everything you need has been paid for. Some people think that they got to work their way up or they got to balance good and bad, but it's so good when I can go to somebody that realizes they are spiritually poor and say, all you got to do is accept the one who's rich, the one who's righteous, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. I can't say it enough. I'm so glad that I'm in, because somebody, I can tell you, for me, I'd heard it over and over again, but one day I realized I was a poor boy and I needed the riches of God. And I needed the riches, all the things in this world that I thought I needed. I realized one day I didn't need any of that like I needed Jesus. And when I got saved, the things I was trying to hold on to, God gave me a good wife. God gave me a family. God gave me the church that I needed to be in. God gave me all the things that I ever would need, because he knows what I need. He knows what I want and what I have to have as a man in this life, as a woman in this life. God knows where you are. He knows what you need. And the best way to come to him is to humble yourself and to accept him as your Savior and watch him fulfill everything that you ever truly, down deep, was a right desire in your soul. God will take care of it for you. You say, preacher, that's prosperity gospel. No, that is gospel preaching. Amen. Jesus paid it all. And if we would just simply humble ourselves and get into his way. Do you know some of us that have financial problems is because we're trying to do it by the world. We're trying to borrow our way out of things when God doesn't. That's not his plan. I mean, we could go through the list of things that God truly wants for his Christian, his person that accepts him. And it's all laid out in his scripture if we would just practice it. He would fulfill those things. A lot of times, I'm not saying this for me. Please don't think this. We don't tithe, and God allows the destroyer, the one that's going to consume, to drill holes in the bottom of our pockets. And the end of the week, we look at our money and we go, where in the world did it go? But God had a plan for us to tithe and to be with him and to do things. You say, well, I don't take heart. Listen, you can't ever outgive God. New Testament giving is, and you say, preacher, that's not what I believe. Hey, giving has always been God's way. Giving has always been God's way, and then he'll give more than you could ever give him back. And that's not, I'm saying that, oh, preacher, you're saying that so you can drive the tithe. No, I'm trying to do that because God has a plan for your family, and he wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be taken care of. I'm not talking millionaire. I'm not talking all these crazy things that all these prosperity preachers. I'm just telling you, if we would do it God's way, God would take care of his own. But too many times, God, what we find is money troubles, is God trying to humble us and bring us home. Is God allowing the devil to work on us because we're out there where we ought not be? We're in the things that we should never be touching. Oh, preacher, come on, preacher. Oh, yeah, I see some things. You know, he doesn't just finish there. He says, compel them. You remember the verse? Let me read it to you again. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. You see, one says, bring them in. And the other is compel. You know, once you've gone out, one of them is in the city streets. You know, we find the poor. I mean, we could go into any city, and that's where I drove last night. I drove up into Orlando. Find people trying to wait for some crust that's thrown out of some business. Trying to hem up behind something that's warm at night. Maybe a heater or some kind of thing blows out the side. And you can find those people everywhere. But, you know, then he says the country people. Live out in the highways and the hedges. Maybe the farmer that's out in the field with his sheep, or we could go on all through the different scenarios, but go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them. Do you know that word compel? I mean, it's such a strong word. It's to go out and arrest them not throw handcuffs on them, but to tell them the truth, to get them to think about life, what's going to happen when you die, to tell them that this, there's only one life and it'll soon be passed, that death comes for every man. You're not going to outlive it. We live in a day and age where everybody in this world is caught up in the pride of this life and they want to live forever. And we're trying to mask ourselves to that. We're trying to inoculate ourselves to that. We're trying to do everything so we can live forever. But the sad reality is that death is going to come for every man if Jesus don't come first. Don't think that God is not still in control of every life on planet Earth. Back in Genesis, what was it? Almost living to be 1,000 years old. And God said, I'm tired of that foolishness. I'm going to make it 70. That was God. The reason we're not all living about 10 generations ourselves is because God set bounds on our lives. And then God is the one that knows the exact day you're going to go to home be with him. You say, why are you getting off on this? I just want you to be reminded as Christians that God is in control. You really want to sit and worry about what's happening. You should look back. Think about this. I'm not against masks. I'm not against them. All right? I'm not against. I believe in freedom. I believe you ought to be free to do those things. That's what I'm saying. But at the same time, how about this? As a Christian, as a believer, do you know the Bible says that my life could be limited because of my obedience to my parents? If I really wanted to see how long I'm going to live, I'd be looking back at how I treated mom and dad, how well I obeyed them. That's scripture. And then by reason of strength, we don't know if that's spiritual strength, physical strength, we don't know what that is. We know the Bible says that working out profiteth little. Hey, I'm just telling you, what is that extra little bit, maybe another 10 years? I'm not sure what it is according to the scripture, but I know one thing. You can shorten your life by being wrong with your parents. You could gain a little bit more by reason of strength, but either way, your days are numbered. And they're numbered by the Lord, not by the U.S. government, not by Fauci. Not by anybody in this world. There's not one person that can call what day you'll go except for God Almighty. And when we get that in our heads, we can throw the pride of life off. And we can come to a place where we'll live every day for him. When was it that the Christian lost the mindset that I'm not promised tomorrow anyway? So I'm going to live for Jesus today. I'm going to give him my all today because I'm not promised tomorrow. Do you know, and for the Christian, let's all be honest. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wouldn't that be better anyway? I know we're going to leave some folks behind and they'll sorrow. But folks, it's going to be a better place for us. I'm going to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm still going to be waiting for the supper. Amen. Hey, folks, I see three other excuses. You know, one made an excuse over land. One made an excuse over labor. One made an excuse over love. I've married a wife and I cannot come. I've got 5 yoke of oxen and I got to go work them. I bought a piece of land and I better go see it. You know, I look over the crowd today and I wonder how many of you were like me when I was young. And I kept putting off. I kept excuse after excuse after excuse why I couldn't come today to the Lord, why I couldn't receive the invitation. There was a place prepared for me, and I just made excuse after excuse after excuse. There are people, without a doubt, under the sound of my voice, either by radio, the internet, or in this building, that will excuse themselves into hell. They'll make excuse after excuse, just like the folks did here, and they'll miss the supper that God has prepared. Hey, listen, do you know what I saw in the scripture? When people don't show up, he got angry. And rightfully so. Because every person that has heard the invitation that Jesus saves, that he died on Calvary and paid for your sin, that his blood, you are going to have to excuse and trample your way through the blood of Jesus Christ on your way to hell. And when you stand before the righteous judge at the great white throne, listen, folks, I wouldn't want to be you. If there's anybody that's going to stand in anger, pained and broken in his heart, to have to look at someone that he paid the ultimate price for and have to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Can you imagine that day? I can only imagine God saying, I gave you an invitation. I sent my son to die for you. I called you to come to my supper that I had prepared. But you wouldn't have any of it. The problem with us folks is all the excuses that these folks made, it still was rejection. And too many times we sit in a message in a church like this and we make an excuse, but really what it comes down to is pride. I'm too proud to walk an old-fashioned altar and get saved. I'm too proud to come down and humble myself before God and receive his invitation. You know, you say, preacher, I'm not too proud. I just am sure. I'm not sure. Well, if you're not sure, get it settled. If you don't know, then come down and help us. Let us take the Bible and show you you can know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. Whatever the situation this morning, I think about this. There were three invitations. There'll be three types of people in heaven. All right? Those that received right at the last, that got in by the skin of their teeth, like the thief on the cross. Those that came in at the invitation and were healed and helped and became a servant and went back out and got someone else to come back in. Amen. And in heaven, there'll be seats, the people that won't be there. There'll be places, and you'll walk in and go, Lord, what a supper and a spread. What are all these empty seats doing here? I gave invitation. I sent men out and to bring people in. I sent men out to compel people to come in. You can see there's still room. He'll say, men made excuses, and they rejected my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning, and you've rejected the Savior, you know about him, you know all the things about church, you know he's the way, but you put it off for another day. I'm not ready. That's an excuse. I want to get married first. I want to have children first. I want to clean myself up first. I've heard a lot of excuses in my day, but all of them boil down to, I don't want that Jesus. Sounds a lot like the Pharisees. We will not have this man to rule over us. I want to run my life. I don't want Jesus in my life. Folks, today, that's what it boils down to. You come to a place like this, and you're not sure you're saved. Today, you are going to make a conscious choice whether to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior or to reject him. I pray today that today will be the day of salvation. If you are here and, folks, you're on the fence. You've been saved, but you haven't really got into serving him. I pray today that you'll humble yourself and say, Lord, use me as your servant. That starts with baptism. Join in the church and getting into the army of God. Hey, how about this? If you're already serving him, how about if we remember that it's only one life, and it'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the musicians come, would you stand to your feet? If you're here and you don't know Christ, would you step out while heads are bowed? I'm going to ask everybody to keep their head bowed and their eyes closed as the musicians begin to play and Brother Burke gets ready to sing. Would you step out and come? Would you come and meet me in the front? If you've never received Jesus Christ, maybe you're saved and you know you're on your way to heaven, but you want to serve him. Why don't you step out? Maybe you need to join the church through baptism so you can start that service. Maybe you need to come to Christ and then get baptized. Whatever it is that God's spoken to your heart with today, as Brother Bert sings, you come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I wonder if there's one that doesn't know Christ as Savior. Why don't you step out and come? I know that my dad did the same thing. He came to church and heard a good message and knew that he was lost. But he continued to make excuses. He said, "Boy, I'm going to hold out. I'm going to hold on to this pew. I'm not going to accept Christ." We're not guaranteed tomorrow, folks. We're not guaranteed that I can get saved next Sunday or somebody will come to my house and give me the gospel. You're not guaranteed that. This may be your chance. This may be the call of God upon your life. Don't miss it. Don't make excuse. Step out and come, as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight rich as he.